Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Ah, I could listen to that music. It's wonderful. Welcome to Call to Freedom. So good to have you join us today. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men. Hallelujah. The source of our joy comes from our walk with the Lord Jesus each day. There's no way to describe the fulfillment and hope we have because of God's amazing gift to us, Jesus. And I hope that you can serve Jesus every... That's one thing wonderful, Kimberly. We can serve Jesus every day of the year.
Yes.
And Christmas is that... When we serve Jesus every day of the year, then it's Christmas every day of the year.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, and thank you for joining me again in the studio.
It's such a wonderful season. And you have some really great... You might not be ready for it, but I'm ready to hear the good news of the season. Oh. You've got some wonderful praise reports.
We have so many people that send little notes in their insert cards with either their praise report or their heart cry and their donation. And Kimberly, I never get tired. In fact, when I open the envelopes, that's the first thing I see, whether they wrote a note on the back of their insert card or whether they wrote a note at all. And it's just such a blessing. I know so many of you are busy and you don't have the time. I understand that. I really do. But thank you for remembering us. Who talk to you every day on the radio.
And sharing those praise reports and sharing your prayer requests,
yes,
too. We love to pray for you.
Absolutely. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I will go directly to the notes from the listeners, because your notes really mean a lot to us. And you take that time. Here's a letter from a new listener. She maybe not a new listener, but the first time she's contacted Call to Freedom. And she says, "Dear Barbara and team," you're the team.
Oh, well.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're the,
for team, teamwork.
Hostess with the mostest. I've listened to many of your programs on KLTT through the, quote, watches in the night. Mm-hmm. And I know many of you listen in the nighttime, 2:30, 5:30, and in the wintertime, 5:30, it's dark. So I pray for you. I understand sometimes it's hard to get to sleep, but God will give you that sweet sleep in the night. She goes on to say, "I'm a widow at a senior center, and the Lord has sent me to open our non-denominational service every Sunday in our community room. And what I love about this listener's writing is that she's being used by the Lord where she is, and she's leading the service at a retirement center. And also, she's leading the singing, and she says, I don't have very good voice, but I'm leading the singing, and we usually sing it a cappella, which I believe is so beautiful. Then she goes on to say, then a man comes, the pastor, I believe his name of the community center is Mark. I forgot his last name. And he brings a sermon, and then we sing again after the sermon. So I think it's a wonderful thing. I hope you just have more and more people joining that Sunday morning. And this is so powerful, because there's Baptist, Lutheran, Protestant, Methodist, Pentecostal, and they all have one thing in common. We all love Jesus. That is so powerful that they come around to loving everyone and in common with the Lord Jesus.
Yes. Mm. When we come to the conclusion that Jesus is the center of our focus, not our denomination, not our family genetics, not our traditions, not whatever we could group him into that we've been a part of for all of our lives.
Yes.
But him, himself, him, Jesus,
yes.
He's the center. He's the focus.
Mm-hmm. I read something, getting away from this just a little bit, our letters. I read something by Socrates this morning. Strong minds reflect on concepts, ideas, strong minds. Average minds concentrate on events. What's happening right now? It's going to be Christmas. We've got to get all the cards and letters mailed and all this kind of thing. And weak minds, they concentrate on people, talking about people. Hmm. And that's where we get our social networks, our social media, talking about people.
No, I like how you're connecting that the strong mind is really focused on concepts and ideas, that Jesus is the one who has molded all of the universe and this world for himself. Mm-hmm. He's got a plan, and it's a really good plan.
It's a really good plan. It is. And so I thought that was so interesting, especially at this time of year. She goes on to say, Holy Spirit guides me every Sunday as I lead the congregation, and I still need your prayers to help me do his will for his purpose and good pleasure. I love those kind of prayers. I need your prayers to help me do his will. And I think of that scripture in Philippians 2:13, that God is at work in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
That's right.
I love that. So thank you so much. Another request is for a job for her son. I'm praying that it will be a secure job with no fear of being terminated. And that's what I'm praying for you today. I pray, Father, that her son will become dedicated to you more than to a job, because I know you answer those prayers that are according to your will. Thank you for a job for this listener's son, and more than that, for those who are without employment right now, that you give them a job that will be a joy and meet all their needs in Jesus' name.
Yes. We've had other requests too, people who are struggling with their health, and we do lift you up and believe that Jesus is your strength, that his strength is perfected in your weakness. Mm-hmm. And for many of us, this is a very different Christmas. Many of you out there have sent in your prayer requests and shared with us that it's a hard season for you. And you know what? We are believing that you will feel held through this season more than you ever have before, that as your eyes are turned toward Jesus, that he will fill you completely and satisfy all of your desires.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I got to make one more a note from a listener. And James, you just blessed my heart. And you say, I don't give to receive. I give as an act of worship. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. I really do. I know God likes that. He's listening. And I love your writings in the Freedom Street Express. Well, all glory to God. Praise the Lord that I can every month send you something from my heart, that which I've been thinking about and praying about and Holy Spirit has given to me for the month. So thank you. And you'll see Kimberly having articles also in the Express. And oh, I appreciate your articles so much, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Our memory verse for this week is Revelation 11:15. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.
That is a comfort.
Isn't that? Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you don't mind, Kimberly, I'm just going to read from the fourth verse of Revelation 11. Give you an idea of the two witnesses before we go. Maybe we'll just talk about the two witnesses. I don't know, because we let God do a whole lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
These two witnesses, and they are almost the exact wording about Zerubbabel and Joshua in Zechariah 4:13-14. I'm not giving any kind of thing. I believe the two witnesses will be Zerubbabel and Joshua, but you can go on your own belief system, and God may have two different witnesses. And I've seen so many Bible scholars talk about other men that are the two witnesses, but these two witnesses are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord God of the whole earth. And that's almost word for word from Zechariah 4:13-14. We're reading from Revelation 11:4. If anyone attempts to harm them, fire will flow out of their mouths and consume their foes. All who seek to harm them will die in this way. They have authority to shut the heavens so that no rain will fall during the days of their prophesying. They have authority over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague imaginable as often as they desire. Their testimony is completed. When their testimony is completed, the beast that comes up from the bottomless pit will wage war against them and conquer them and kill them. Their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that is symbolically called Sodom and Egypt. We know that they're talking about Jerusalem, but here another is Sodom and Egypt, not the physical Sodom and Egypt, although they were destroyed. But he's talking more about a spiritual Sodom and Egypt, a spiritual death, a spiritual ending of something. So where their Lord was, and that was the city Jerusalem, where their Lord was also crucified. For 3.5 days, people with every ethnicity, tribe, nation, and language will see their corpses, because no one is permitted to bury them. Now, in the Jewish tradition, their burying is very swift, within 2 or 3 days of the dying. So this is very different. The entire world will gloat over them and celebrate and exchange gifts, because these two prophets had condemned those who dwell on the earth. After 3.5 days, God's breath of life entered them, and they stood up on their feet, terrifying all who saw them. Then they heard a loud shout from heaven saying, "Come up here." And the two prophets, it says, climbed up into heaven in a cloud while their enemies watched. At that very moment, there was a powerful earthquake and 1/10 of the city collapsed. We're talking about Jerusalem, killing 7,000 people. The rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now the second woe is past and the third is coming swiftly. And that's when we get to the 15th verse of Revelation 11, says the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. They're talking about God and of Jesus. And he will reign supreme for an eternity of eternities. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so there's much of this that could cause, confusion, because we don't know exactly how this is happening. And when you talk about those two witnesses and who they might be, I'm just going to give some other examples of who they are thought to be. There are some who believe that those two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. Mm-hmm. There are some who believe that those two represent the law and the prophets. So it's not literal people. Mm-hmm. It's the law is a witness of the Lord, and the prophets are witnesses of the Lord.
Yeah, because the two witnesses, they were not mentioned by name.
Right.
Just two witnesses. So
right.
That's probably a true report there.
Well, we don't know. So when I bring up these other ideas and we're not reading it literally, I'm not trying to sell somebody on it. I'm not trying to sell it.
That's a good word.
Teach it, preach it, sell it. that's not my intention at all. I am really wanting to let others know that I have allowed my own time with the Lord to expand ideas. And when those ideas are expanded and I'm asking questions of the Lord, it's bringing more and more peace. And I long for that for others, too. There's another idea of these two witnesses in Revelation 11, that the two witnesses might be representing Jews and Gentiles. Because the Jewish community is a witness for God, and the Gentile community is a witness for God and his mercy and loving kindness that has reached out to another group of people who were not at first called his people.
Yes.
But now we are.
That's right.
It could be those witnesses as well. And when we hear, you know what? I'm just going to skip back to Revelation 1 real quick again, because when this whole vision was given to John, a voice told him, a voice reassured him and told him in Revelation 1, verse 17, this voice said, "Don't yield to fear. Do not be afraid. Yes. Don't be afraid. I am the beginning and I am the end." This is Jesus talking to him and reassuring him, because Jesus is the beginning and the end.
That's right.
Our Lord is the beginning and the end. He has authored the whole thing, beginning to end.
Now, there's not an end to eternity. So what you're talking about here is the end of our time, sure. our history.
Mm-hmm. And our story, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and this vision even, this mm-hmm. vision. There's a beginning to this vision and an end to this vision that is being given mm-hmm. to John. And it must have really scared him because the verse before, well, starting the beginning of verse 17, Revelation 1, when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as good as dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't yield to fear. Mm-hmm. I am the beginning and I am the end. So the vision, what if John already had a glimpse of this vision and he just fell down in fear, trembling? Mm-hmm. And then we hear that reassuring voice, don't yield to fear. Mm-hmm. You know, so even if we are one of those two witnesses that we're reading about here in Revelation 11, when their testimony is complete, the beast comes up from the sea and wages war against them and conquers and kills them. That doesn't sound like a really peaceful vision mm-hmm. to have for our life.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
But don't yield to fear. Don't give in to the fear. I am the beginning and the end, Jesus says. I love being reminded that he is the one who holds the keys. He goes on to say that right after verse 17 in Revelation 1. Verse 18 says, I'm the living one. I was dead, but now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world.
Yes.
Mm. Now, Jesus saying that he holds the keys, this goes right in line with Psalm 139. You know, let me turn there because there's another part of 139. Psalm 139, verse 5 in the Old Testament here is confirming that he is the beginning and the end. Verse 5 says, you've gone into my future to prepare the way, to even prepare the end of the story. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. In kindness, you've written my story from the very beginning as beautiful. Mm-hmm. So beginning to end, here we're reading about Jesus, how kind he is. Mm-hmm. And then if we go in Psalm 139 to verses 11 and 12, it says, it's impossible to disappear from you, Lord, or to ask the darkness to hide me from you and from your presence. For your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. Verse 12 says, there's no such thing as darkness with you,
with
Lord.
You. Yes.
The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. And I was actually looking, this is so wonderful and deep. I love this whole chapter, how the Lord knows our innermost being and shaping us inside our mother's womb. And that's a dark place. That's a mysterious place. Mm-hmm. That is a place where we are for a season. And when we're birthed out into a new realm, that might be kind of scary. You know, many babies enter this world screaming.
Yes.
So there could be pain involved. There could be bright lights. There could be, you know, scary things happening. But he knows from the very beginning to the end, he knows us. Mm-hmm. And he has written a very good story. So don't yield to fear. Don't give in to fear. There is nothing to fear.
No.
In fact, in this Psalm 139, he says that we can go down into the depths of the realm of the dead. This is in verse 8. We can go up to heaven, but you are there, Lord. And if I go down to the realm of the dead, you are there too.
You are there.
This is Jesus talking about how he holds the keys. He's got the keys to the realm of the dead.
Yes.
And praise Ephesians 4 is another confirmation of that he ascended. And how can it say that he ascended except that he descended first? And when he descended, he preached captivity captive to those who are already captive in the realm of the dead. Jesus preached and called them up and out. We see here over and over that Jesus holds the keys. So we do not have to be afraid of all of these writings and this vision in Revelation that we have been given.
That's right. We do not.
Did you want to go on with Revelation 11? I had prepared to talk more about the horsemen because we only talked about two of them yesterday.
Yes, and we can talk, go on talking about the horsemen. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
and we don't have a whole lot of time, but
no.
Yes, we can do that. Oh, as you can see listening to us, we really have this together. Oh, God is our source. He really is. He's our guide. So I'm Amen. Thankful that he also has a little sense of humor. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Well, just to recap really quickly, the first two horsemen we talked about in Revelation 6, the first one riding on a white horse can represent salvation to us, where mm-hmm. Jesus appears to us with that victory. And the second one could represent conviction in our hearts. He rides in on a red horse, and he has the power to take peace and causing one to put another to death. I believe that that one is the new creation in us, mm-hmm. that it has the power to put the old to death in us. And it happens through conviction. We might be convicted by the Holy Spirit on the ways, the patterns, the thoughts of our life that are the old thoughts. And they're being renewed every day with the new creation life.
Yes.
In verse 5 of Revelation 6, it says that he broke open the third seal, and I saw a black horse right in front of me, and its rider was holding measuring scales. And I heard what seemed to be a voice from among the living creatures say, "A small measure of wheat for a day's pay. It's a quart for a denarius, and 3 measures of barley for a day's pay," which is another denarius. "But don't harm the olive trees producing oil and the vines producing wine." Mm. So here we have the black horse and the rider is holding scales. I believe only Jesus knows how to measure and balance everything in this life. And when we hear that voice talking about the measure of wheat or the measure of barley, those are grains. And they're spoken of not as flour or as bread, but as the grains. So they haven't been crushed yet. And it says, "Don't harm the olive trees producing the oil mm-hmm. or the vines producing the mm-hmm. wine." So those, the wine and the oil, don't harm the wine and the oil. Those have been crushed. Mm-hmm. The olives have been crushed to make the oil. The grapes have been crushed to produce the wine.
Mm-hmm.
So we could see this fourth horse as Jesus on it, showing us this process of being crushed and how to handle the crushing and the pressing and allow it to be made into a new wine mm-hmm. and a new oil for him.
Yes.
So again, we're looking at the new creation life.
Yes. Now, in this, and it's the third horse, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so here in the traditional view, we are looking at this third black horse as a representation of the famine on this earth. And I know that's what you have been hearing all these years. I've been hearing, listening to it for 50 years, that kind of traditional viewpoint. And he's holding the scales, and it's going to mean that the economy and our livelihoods are going to change drastically because we are not going to have enough food. So we're going to have to be on budgets. If you've heard that before, I know you have. And don't waste the olive oil and the wine. Now, we've always had a little question about that. Why not waste the olive oil and the wine? Well, olive oil is so good for nutritional values. But it's also reminiscent, Kimberly, of the feasts and the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And we must truly, I believe this almost is an example of Jesus himself, and we must feed on him. Mm. We must feed on him. And
That's
he says,
good.
"Eat of my flesh."
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's the process of being crushed that mm-hmm. produces that oil that you can feed on. Mm-hmm. The process of being crushed, and he was willing to be crushed and to be bruised. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah 53 talks about that.
Yes.
About our Lord. And let's just talk about this last horse. Get it in here. This last horseman that rides up on a green horse. Now, many translations say a pale horse or ashen horse.
Uh-huh.
But this word in the Hebrew is actually the word for green. And the word in Greek is the word for green. And every other place in the New Testament where this word is mentioned in the Greek, it always refers to the green grass or something living, green thing.
It still talks about death and the grave, right?
So,
yes.
So the green horse and the rider's name is Death.
Death. Okay.
So mm-hmm. there's a green horse with the rider on it named Death. And this is telling us that death, it can come on the wings, on the legs of life. And life can be carrying death in it. And to truly live, if we're living Jesus' way, then we're living in a way where we're willing to die to our dreams so that he can have his dream.
Yes.
I go back to that prayer request at the very beginning mm-hmm. of the hour. You said that she was asking that she would be able to do the will of God.
That's right.
Have her own in mind.
That's dying to self.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So that is a beautiful picture if we're looking at it from the way that Jesus arrives.
Yes.
If he's the one arriving on life, he came to this world to die.
Yes.
So if we can see that fourth horse there, not as being scary with sword and famine and death, but as being a picture of Christ and how he showed us to live this in this broken world, this broken life, to be willing to let it die so that we can look forward to resurrection life with him.
Oh, praise God. Well, thank you, Kimberly. We're going to talk more about, Jesus in Revelation, not as a baby anymore, but in Revelation. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Our partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.